crowd is shrinking. I announced some time ago that I was going to be preaching some messages out of the book of Proverbs and talking about wisdom. And I was afraid that, well, you know, everybody knows so much these days that probably that would scare some people off. But, you know, you stayed and you keep coming back. So that's good. Amen. I'm just having a little fun. It's okay to have fun. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now, the word merry doesn't mean playful or whimsical, but you know what? That does come out from that. The word merry there literally means the source of joy, and Jesus is the source of joy, and we'll talk more about that. I'm not going to talk about that tonight. I'm going to kind of talk about the opposite of that. I'm going to talk about an angry heart, and I wonder if you deal with anger. Is there anybody in here that deals with anger? Raise your hand. Let me get you to do that again. Is there anybody in here that deals with anger? Raise their hand. Okay, thank you. That's more like it. We all deal with anger. Some of us deal with it a little different than others. You know, when I was growing up, we had this saying, such and such lost their temper. And you probably have heard that. You know, well, you know, oh, so-and-so, he lost his temper. And you may have said it about yourself. I just couldn't help it. I lost my temper. And I'll never forget, when I was working at a place, I heard a guy, you know, say, I'm going to lose my temper. And he just went off on some rampage. And some guy that was in the break room said, I think you found it. And really, I think that's what happens. I don't know that we lose our temper as much as we find it when we spout off like that and fly off and say things we shouldn't say and unfortunately do things we shouldn't do. So I want to read you some scripture. I went through the book of Proverbs. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about anger and wrath, and being wroth is another word that the Bible uses. And it talks about rage. It talks about wrath. Being at a boiling point, just to where really you just, it can affect you. It can affect not only what you say and what you do, but it can affect your health. Now, I'm not turning into a doctor, okay? So you say, well, you preached about health Sunday night. We're going to have to hear about health again. Well, it's been proven. It's been proven that people that stay angry, whether it's bitterness or whether it's just being wounded or hurt, but if they're in constant contention or anger, it's just been a proven medical fact that it affects their chemical makeup and it will affect our health. And so, you know, not just for our health, but for our spiritual health and well-being, we need to learn how to take charge of anger. Now, we all deal with anger. And there is a righteous anger. The Bible speaks about being angry and sinning not. And so a lot of people take that verse and they say, well, you know, the Bible says be angry. Yeah, but now that's not where it stops. It says be angry and sin not. And there's a fine line between being angry and letting it get over into the category of sin. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Now, I'm not going to be able to preach what I would like to tonight, so it's going to be two parts this Wednesday and next Wednesday. But I do want to read you some scripture. I just went through, and I didn't write down every one. And just in the book of Proverbs, I was surprised at how many verses in the Bible deal with anger, the temperament, the disposition of angry men, angry people, and being angry in our heart, and words of anger and actions of anger. And then I thought about our society today. I thought about the society that we live in and how that people are just full of anger and wrath. And I've said this before, it's gotten to the place to where you're driving down the road and you hesitate to even look at the vehicle next to you because people just say, what you looking at? Well, I mean, I just thought I'd look over that way. I didn't mean anything personal by it. I mean, it's just everybody's got this like a chip on their shoulder. And so I want to talk to you about anger. Let's just read some scripture. Okay, I think scripture speaks for itself a lot of times. And then I want to just give you some thoughts about it. You say, no, wait a minute now, preacher. Now, wait a minute. I don't deal with anger that much. Well, if you deal with it any at all, you need to know how to deal with it. How do you deal with anger? When's the last time you and your spouse had a mutual disagreement? Yeah, I'm going to start meddling. Otherwise known as an argument. Did you get angry? Have you gotten angry with your children recently? Have you gotten angry at your brother? You know, the Bible speaks about being angry at your brother. Jesus said, if you do it without a cause, well, judgment's coming. That's what he said, Matthew 5:22. We may get there, okay? So what about this thing of anger? How do you handle it? Now, a lot of people would think, well, you know, anger is not a big deal, preacher. It's just not. Well, usually anger is just the result of something, of buried, suppressed hurt or wounds, maybe even bitterness. And so let's just see what the scripture says, okay? And you find your place in it, and I just pray you let God speak to your heart from the reading of the scripture. And again, I'm in no way indicting you. I don't know what your disposition is, your temperament. I don't know if you have anger issues, but if you do, you need to get that under control. Anger, as we shall see in the book of Ephesians, opens the door and gives place to the devil. And you don't want to give him place in your life. All right? So let's see what the scripture says. You're in Proverbs 14. Look, if you would, in verse number 17. And I'm just going to read some scripture to you. Please follow along so you can see what the Bible says. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. In other words, it doesn't take much to just make you angry, just tick you off, you know. People say, well, I have a short fuse. Others say, well, you know, I have little patience. Some people even say, well, I'm Irish. I'm redheaded. Whatever, you know. I don't care what you are. If you're soon angry, the Bible says right here, you're dealing foolishly. You're going to make some foolish decisions. And so it's serious. It's a serious thing. Something that we might take lightly, the Bible says, hey, you might want to take a precaution here and realize that your temperament, if you have an anger issue, you need to identify it and you need to ask God to help you with it. All right? Notice, if you would, in Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 in verse number 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. So the word wrathful there, it comes from the same word. You can look it up in the concordance. It's rage. It's anger. It's someone that's seething, you know, just smoldering. I'm mad, and I'm ready to tell people how I feel about it. Well, here the Bible says, if that's your case, you stir up strife. And it says that a man that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Right? If you go back over into verse number 1 of this chapter, it's one of my favorite verses. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, one of the things that I noticed when I was reading through the scripture is it has a lot to say about the tongue and the words we use and utter that can either show our anger or even stir up anger in others. So, you know, we need to choose wisely what we say, don't we, brethren? I mean, we really do. And it just seems like we live in a society, and I have to watch myself. I know that you do too. You'll find yourself, I'll find myself saying things that I shouldn't say in a way that I shouldn't say it. And if we're not careful, those that we love the most and those that we're around the most will become familiar we'll say some things that are hurtful because of familiarity and being comfortable, and it's just not right. And God is not pleased with that. Notice, if you would, in chapter 16, Proverbs 16. And again, I've just chosen some. This is one of my favorite, Proverbs 16. Look at verse number 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. You know, sometimes people think, well, I'm mad, and I'm just going to tell them how I feel. And boy, they'll know how I feel. They'll know I mean business. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the exact opposite. You want to show how mighty you are? You want to show how in charge you are? Be slow to anger. Look at it one more time. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Got to show some self-control, right? Yeah. What comes up doesn't necessarily have to come out. What comes to mind doesn't have to be spoken through the lips. Is that what the Bible says? Absolutely. All right, Proverbs 19. Look at it if you would. Proverbs 19, look at verse number 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. That word discretion just means understanding, wisdom. When a man exercises wisdom and understanding, well, he defers. That word deferreth means he puts it off. He thinks it through. It's what this is saying. You know, a man of wisdom won't just say what he feels like saying at the moment. He'll think it through, weigh it out before he responds to what he's going to say. Did you know the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about that? About hearing a matter, hearing all of a matter before you respond to the matter. As a matter of fact, a man that responds to a matter before the matter is completed in thought or word is not wise. It's best to hear all the matter, think it through, and then you can speak if you feel that you need to say something about it. So here the Bible again is just saying, exercise some self-control and some wisdom. Look at Proverbs 22, if you would. Proverbs 22, look in verse number 24. Proverbs 22, verse number 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. So anger can be a snare, and you don't want to pick up a snare along the pathway of life. That's what is being taught here. Don't be hanging around people that are soon angry and spouting off everything and always in a fit of rage, because it can come on you and you'll get that snare in your life. You'll pick up that terrible temperament and disposition. And the scripture says, don't be making friendship with people that are always contentious and angry and have an angry spirit. I think that's pretty serious, don't you? That the Bible would say, don't even try to befriend people like that. Notice what it says in Proverbs 29 and verse number 22. Now, this is just the word anger or angry. I have some other scripture, and I may use some of them. I don't know that I will, but we'll see how our time is. In Proverbs 29, verse number 22, the scripture says this, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. You know, you lose control of your speech, before long you're going to lose control of your actions, and you're going to cross the line. That word transgression means you're going to go beyond. You're going to cross the line. You're going to do an offense to someone. And so if we stop right there, that's a lot to say about people just giving you a piece of their mind, or however we say it these days, you know, letting them know how we feel, just angry about things all the time. Now, there's a difference between being stern. I'm not talking about being stern. You know, sometimes you have to be stern. Sometimes you have to be direct. That's not what anger is. I'm talking about a seething. You know, when you really look this word up, it actually means the flaring of the nostrils. You ought to look it up. It's an interesting study. I had a good time just studying this word and finding out about what it meant in a negative connotation. And it has all of these things that we think about, you know, rage and passion. But it's a negative passion, and it's a negative, it's just negative. And to be angry all the time is just a negative mindset. It's a negative disposition, and it affects your temperament. It will affect your health, and it will certainly affect other things. Now, let me say this before I give you a few things here, and when I give you some things that you can do about it. I'm going to do that this weekend, next week, the Lord willing. I want to tell you some things that are bad about it, but I'm going to tell you what you can do about it. I don't want to just give you the problem. I'm going to try to give you a biblical solution to the problem. All right, that's called application. I try to make application to my preaching. I don't always do the best at that, but I always try to give, well, you know what, here's a problem, and this is what we can do to remedy this problem. Now, anger can be a problem if it's not under control. Now, we all get angry. Everyone gets angry. The question is, how do we handle it? Are we in control of anger, or is anger in control of us? What causes us to be angry? Is it an ongoing problem? Is it something that stems back months, maybe even years, maybe decades, and we just haven't dealt with it, and it's just festering, and it's just growing like the root of bitterness? You know, if anything has a root, it's probably going to have a fruit. And so we really, really have to search our hearts, and we have to be honest. And so what I'm going to teach you tonight is just simple. And so it's not going to be anything profound. It's just going to be, are we doing it? Are we doing what the Bible says we need to do to get this thing under control? So I sit at my desk, and I thought about, now, what do I stand to lose if I lose my temper? Because that's what people call it, you know. Well, I lost my temper. Well, if I'm not going to be in control of my temper, is that all I lose, is my temper? I don't think so. It depends on who I'm with. It depends on a lot of things that surround it. It depends on, where I'm at. If I'm at work, I could lose my job. I'm going to go in the office and give the boss man a piece of my mind. He's probably going to give you a piece of a pink slip. And so, you know, you better be careful about this, about giving a piece of your mind. It might not work out well for you. You may lose your job. You may lose your testimony. Well, that cashier didn't give me the right change back. And there's people watching the way you respond, or that waitress didn't bring me the right thing. I ordered this, and the list could go on, and we blow up. I hope you don't, but there is a possibility that people would do something like that and just blow up and say nasty things to people. And, you know, you stand to lose your testimony. You say, so I'm just supposed to be okay with them bringing me the wrong food? Well, there's a right way to handle things. Amen? Amen. Brethren, listen, I don't even think this falls under the line of being a Christian, but we are Christians. And as Christians, we have a testimony. And so we need to be mindful that all eyes are on us. And so be careful. You could stand to lose more than just your temper, your testimony. Some people losing their temper, they lost their family. Because losing their temper, they said things they shouldn't say, and they said horrendous things. I've been there to try to help salvage their family. But it's not just what they said, it's what they did as the anger grew and as their words became more harsh. It turned into harsh actions. And the lady said, enough. And some people say, well, you know, well, she ought to just stay. Well, no woman should stay in an abusive situation. You can say amen right there. That's not, God doesn't want a woman to do that. And God wants us to do everything we can do to reconcile when there's differences. But God doesn't expect anyone to stay in an abusive situation. And anyone that tells you any different is not studying the Bible. Amen. And so you don't have to stay in that. And so you stand to lose more. Friends, I've known people that lost good friends because they just are just saying things. They just blow up and say things every time something doesn't go their way. Can I just tell you, and I'm not perfect. I don't like to be around people like that. Just every time you're around them, they just blow up. Something's always wrong. They're always mad about something. Their disposition is just always, you know, what's wrong? Well, I'm mad. Well, you're always mad. How about getting glad? Amen. How about trying that glad on? That glad is good. That glad works. The mad is a terrible thing. And so if you're always mad, there's a reason, and we're going to talk about how you need to search that thing out. And then finally, you could lose your health. I already told you that this is not just a opinion. It's not just some theory. It's a fact. When people stay tense and angry all the time and always in contention, it just has a negative impact on us physically. And if you don't believe me, there's some medical personnel in our church. Ask them. And so there are things that we do with our disposition, with our spirit, that can just dry up the bones. I mean, it just absolutely brings about physical situations. And so what can we do? Well, the first thing we need to do, and I want you to take your Bible and turn with me if you would. Now, there's others. Listen, there's many. I just handled these scriptures from an anger point of view. There's those that deal with wrath, which is the same thing with being wroth, W-R-O-T-H. There is a lot in the Bible, but I just dealt with just anger in the book of Proverbs. I wonder how you are with anger. You say, well, preacher, I'm fine. Well, good. I'm glad that you are. Stay on top of it, okay? Stay on top of it. Because there's so many things that can go on in our lives that can just begin to mount up. And if we don't stay humble before the Lord and we don't depend on the Lord to help us to sort through some things, we'll find ourselves maybe compressed or boxed in or frustrated. And it can cause some things, well, maybe we'll say some things in anger without thinking about it or do some things without giving it thought or thinking it through. Take your Bible, as I'm going to give you a couple of, I hope, truths that will help you in how to deal with this anger. Turn to chapter 19 of Proverbs, and let's look at verse number 11. Proverbs 19, verse number 11. The Bible says in Proverbs, and I read this one earlier, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. So this tells me that you can do something about it. Now, did you notice that? The discretion of a man, deferreth. That means he can be successful in dealing with it. Actually, the word, when you look at the word defer, it means to put off, to think it through, to become successful and not allow an anger to control his actions, but he will control his anger. And that's what God wants you to do. And that's what God wants me to do. All right? And so the next time that maybe your spouse or your neighbor or your employer says something, does something, I mean, just really gets next to you, the Bible says that you can do something about it. Because if we're not careful when it comes to these types of sins, and by the way, anger can be sinful. Because the Bible says be angry and sin not, which means if you cross the line, you're going to sin in your anger. And so what are we going to do to control our anger? Well, I think, and this is just as simple as it comes, I think the first thing we have to do is acknowledge, hey, I've got a problem here. I have a problem. And so you have to confess that I have a problem with anger. It's not everyone else. I can't tell you how many people I talk to about different sin in our lives. And the very first thing that they want to start out with is how everybody else is causing them to sin. Let me just tell you something. I want to help you out here, okay? It's you. All right? Just stop that already. You're not going to get victory over any sin in your life as long as you're trying to blame someone else for it. And if it's somebody that just is causing you to get in a bad spirit or causing you to get in a bad situation, eliminate them. Eliminate them. Remove yourself from that. Don't keep putting yourself in a situation that's causing you to weaken your spiritual condition to where you do things that you know is wrong. And so the very first thing that we have to do is we have to acknowledge it's me. I have a problem here. Maybe it's a problem that stems way back. I don't know. Maybe it's something just recent that has crept into your life. And what does cause people to get angry? I mentioned to you, hurt. Maybe there's a wound. Maybe you're bitter about something. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe there's an unconfessed sin. You know what people do? People, they'll sin and they get mad at themselves for sin, and then somebody will come up and say something to them, and they'll pop off at them and get mad at them because they sinned. And they'll try to blame it on someone else. Well, you know what? And they're just constantly looking for someone to blame it on. You say, well, preacher, I've never done that. Well, you know what? I think you probably have. Is there anyone in here that would agree with me that there's been a time that maybe your wife said something at a time that maybe you were mad at yourself, maybe you dropped a jar of ragu sauce in the driveway and it busted? Oh, that happened today, didn't it? Because you were one trip Bumstead, you know, you got to get all the groceries in one trip. Am I the only man in here that thinks he has to do that? Like, you go out to get the groceries, and I'm serious now. I'll have, like, that's why I have back issues, I'm just sure of it. I'll have 10 bags on, and I'm getting in the house like this, you know, and I dropped one today. It's really the first time it's happened. I've been doing this for years, and it happened. I had a clean record before today. It's stained now, and it was more than just my record. Because it was ragu sauce. But anyway, and I get in the house, and Sharon's just going on about, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, oh, I hate that happened, and I'm thinking, please quit talking. Before this becomes your fault. you're talking yourself into this being your fault real quick. Am I the only person? I mean, am I weird? Any of the men in here like this? Just raise your hand if you've done it, you know. Okay. And I see some men say, oh, I'd never do that, preacher. Yeah, I know. If you'll see me after the service, I got a halo we want to attach to your head. You know, there's something about us. We want to blame other people, but I'm telling you, it's wrong. It's wrong to do that. And so if we're not careful, we'll do something and we'll mess up and we'll try to shift the blame. Men are notorious for it. And I know ladies never do that. You ladies never do that, right? No, okay. Right, ladies? You never do that. Okay. We all do it. We all do it. And so here the Bible says, verse number 11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. Think it through. Acknowledge it. I've got a problem. You know whose fault it was that ragu sauce is in the garbage can? It's not the person who bagged it at the grocery store. Listen to me now. It's not the person who built my vehicle and made the trunk. That's what we call the boot, you know, as the size it is. It's not the person who put it in there. It's not the person who picked it out. It's not the person who walked in the house without it and said, honey, I'm home. It's the person who went out there and tried to get 20 bags of groceries in one trip, thinking I'm going to save some time. And I dropped the ragu sauce and busted it right there. I mean, just went everywhere. That's whose fault it is. And until I can come to terms with that, which I did, thankfully I had studied already, the message was prepared. Got to practice what you preach, preacher. You know, we're laughing, but it's a fact. We're always looking, you know, well, it's their fault, it's their fault, it's this, it's that. No, it's me. It's me. I have an issue, and I've got to find out, you know, why I have this issue. Well, what issue do you have, preacher? Well, I have many issues, and I'm working through them. Been working through them for about 40 years. It's called a sin nature. And there's something about a sin nature that doesn't like to say, it's me. I'm the person with the problem. I'm the person that's messed up. It's me. I'm it. It's not you. It's not you. It's not them. It's me. It just is. Now, I'm going to make a statement. Some of you are not going to like it, but I don't mean to make it for you not to like it. I just want you to listen to me, okay? It's not always the devil. Now, he does enough, okay? It's you. Are you listening? Well, the devil made me do it. The devil hadn't made you do anything. Now, listen to me. We're just mixed up, brethren. We're broken. I'm glad God mends broken things. We need God to help us. And so the first step, and I want you to write this down, confess your anger. God, I have a problem. If you have an anger issue, now, I'm being just as transparent with you as I know how to be. I do not have an anger issue. I have issues, but an anger issue is not one of them. Okay? Do you ever get angry, preacher? I do get angry. All right, I do. But I do not have an anger issue. I'm not in denial. Okay? I'm not in denial. But if you are sitting on the sound of my voice, and I'm being dead serious with you now, and you have an anger issue, please, please acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. It is sinful. And if you do not deal with it, it will deal with you. And it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you more than just losing your temper. You're going to lose some things. Now, I want to show you a scripture, and I hope that I wrote it down here. You stand to lose something. Let me find it here. It's in chapter, I think it's in 29, Proverbs 29. Turn there. I hope that I... That's not the one. I'm going to read it while I'm here, though, in verse number 11, Proverbs 29:11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. That's kind of goes back to Proverbs 19, where it talks about deferring and the discretion of a man thinks it through. You don't always have to say what you feel like saying. You know what will happen? When you start saying things you shouldn't say, you'll say more than you should say. It's almost like you let the floodgate open. And so the scripture here says in verse number 11, a fool uttereth all of his mind. You listening? Sometimes you just need to keep your mouth closed. Sometimes I just need to keep my mouth closed. Listen, as a matter of fact, there is wisdom in using less speech. The scripture in the book of Proverbs talks about that, and we may get to it. So the number one thing I'm going to ask you to do tonight is just confess it. Acknowledge it. I have a problem with anger. If you have a problem, if you're always mad at people, if you're always mad, if you find yourself just always angry and always contention, and every time somebody says something, you want to contest it, there's something disconnected. And you need to ask God to really help you. And the first thing you need to do is confess it. God, I have a problem. All right, I have a problem with anger, and I want to ask you to help me. It's not my pastor. It's not my spouse. It's not my foreman. God, I have a problem, and I want you to help me. All right? Number two. After you confess it, ask God to help you to control it. Would you do that? You say, well, I can't help it, preacher. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. We just saw it in Proverbs 19. Let's turn back there now. In Proverbs 19, turn there if you would. Verse number 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. You can help it. You can do something about it. But you're going to need God's help. All right? You're going to need God's help. The Bible says in James 1, it says that we ought to be slow to speak, right? Or swift to hear. Help me out. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's right. Swift to hear. Proverbs 1:19. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Which means what? You're in control. You're in control. You can do something about it. You say, well, I need God to help me. Aren't you glad He will? One of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance, which is self-control or spirit control. God will help you with your anger issue. If you're a parent and you have an anger issue and you have small children, I'm begging you, as your pastor and your friend, you need to get that settled. You will do irreparable damage by exploding and blowing up on your children all the time and just angry all the time. It becomes contagious. Remember, make not friends with an angry person. Why? Because you'll get their snare. Your children will pick that temperament and that disposition up. And you don't want that with your children. I know you don't. And so I'm just speaking to you from my heart now. Deal with that matter. If you have an issue to where everything just, and I'm just using worldly vernacular here, okay? Everything gets on your nerves. Everything just ticks you off, and you're just on edge all the time. You need to get alone with God and say, now, Father, I have a problem. And it's not my family, it's not my work, it's not my church. It's me, Lord, and I'm asking you to help me. I need some help because I don't want to present myself this way. Now, some people have learned to live with their anger issue, and they're okay with it. They've gotten comfortable with it, and they have made themselves believe that's just who I am. Well, you need to change who you are. And I'm not being mean to you now. How would you feel if I come in here and I just named a sin, and I just put it out there and said, well, you know what, that's just who I am, and so y'all going to have to deal with it. Well, no, that's not good. Don't ever get comfortable with the wrong disposition. Don't ever get comfortable with something wrong in your life and just resign to the fact, well, that's just who I am. Well, be who God saved you to be, not who you are, right? And so don't get comfortable with this thing. Don't get comfortable with it. So number one, did you write it down? Confess it. Confess it. Number two, control it. Control it. Now, I'm going to close with this because I'm going to come back next week and we'll talk some more about anger. And I did tell you I'd show you this. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 4, and I'll just read this and then I want to give you some, what can I do? Well, you can confess it. And then you, as you acknowledge it, you can be aware of it and say, now, God, I want you to help me with this. In Ephesians 4, I want you to see what the Apostle Paul says here about how anger can open up the door. I want you to watch this. Verse number 25 says this. Are you in Ephesians 4 with me? Verse number 25. It says, wherefore put away lying. Now, did you get that? You put it away. You put it away. Which means repent. That's what it means. When you put something away, you repent. You turn from it. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Now look at this. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You ever had a spout with your, a spat? I was thinking of spouse and spat and said spout. If you see the way my mind works? And you don't think I have anger issues? You ever had a spat with your spouse and went to bed angry, knowing the Holy Spirit of God is telling you, you need to make this right. You need to make this right. And boy, you're laying there in defiance like it's not my fault. It never is. But because you're saved and the Holy Spirit lives in you and you're sensitive to His voice, you just know, I need to do the right thing here. Now, don't raise your hand. Do you? Do you? Because when you let the sun go down on your wrath, I want you to notice what the apostle said right after that. Neither give place to the devil. You have just left the door open. Now, please listen to me. What you might think is just a little spousal spat has opened the door. And the devil's got his foot in. And then the scripture goes on to say, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Which means when you leave the door open, because you've let the sun go down on your wrath, now you've opened the door for some pretty serious things. And then it gets to, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's telling you, you need to make this right. And you're saying, well, it's her fault. It's his fault. No, you need to make it right. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. You need to make this right. Right? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, I cannot humble myself this way. Why not? You're so full of pride. You can't say I'm sorry. I'm so full of pride, I can't say it's my fault. So I don't have a problem saying it's your fault. Yeah. Now watch what happens. You've left the door open. The devil has his foot in. You've grieved the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse number 31. Let all bitterness and wrath, there's our word, and anger, there's our word, and clamor, and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind. And it begins to talk about forgiveness. Because you know what happens when you leave the door open and the devil gets his foot in and you grieve the Holy Spirit of God and you leave the door open for all kinds of other sin to get involved in that little spat that you had. Now your heart has grown callous and you have this spirit of unforgiveness to where I'm not going to say I'm sorry. And you get stubborn. And so what you think was just a little old argument now has let the devil get in and it could turn into a real train wreck. And so I'm just trying to help you understand something. This is not fun and games. The devil plays for keeps. And our flesh does not like to humble itself in the sight of God and do what God has commanded us to do. So how can we deal with anger? I want you to write these things down and we'll talk about them next week. Number one, now don't forget I said you have to confess it. All right, you have to confess it. And then you have to admit, I can control my anger. I can control my anger. It's just a matter of, will I? And how's that going to happen? What's that look like, preacher? Well, here it is. Number one, repent of your anger. Repent of it. It's sin. God, it's sinful for me to act this way. And I'm confessing it. I'm acknowledging it. And I want you to help me to control it. I repent of my anger. Number two, renounce the devil. Now listen to me carefully. I don't talk to the devil. Did you know that? I don't talk to him. If I'm ever going to talk to the devil, it's going to be in Jesus' name. I don't go to the devil and start telling him all that I'm going to do and this and that. And I advise you not to do that either. If I'm going to say, get thee behind me, it's going to be in Jesus' name. Jude said, the Lord rebuke thee. Okay? And even Michael the archangel, when he was contending for the body of Moses, said that. The Lord rebuke thee. And so don't you go telling the devil what you're going to do and how it's going to be. You just go to him in Jesus' name and say, get thee behind me in Jesus' name. You have got your foot in, and I'm claiming the blood of Jesus, and I'm claiming the territory that you took in my life when I left the door open. Amen. You say, well, I shouldn't do that. You sound Pentecostal. No, I'm just a Bible believer. I'm just a Bible believer. Number three, rely upon the Holy Spirit. Rely upon the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to get in detail in these in our next study, but my time is up tonight, okay? So, I wonder if you have an anger issue. Do you have an anger issue? Do you find yourself angry, contentious, just always finding fault or mad about something? If that's the case, I'm going to ask you to just say, you know, I've got a problem. If you and your spouse argue all the time, there's a problem. That's not natural. Now, it is natural for two people to have arguments. But if your marriage is characterized by arguing, there's a problem. And I'm just going to ask you to search your heart and see, you know, do I have an issue? Do I need God to cleanse me? Do I need God to help me overcome some things to where I would not be such a contentious person? I'm going to ask you to stand. You've been sitting for a while. I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to have a word of prayer.